Good morning. Once again, we're so glad to have you here today. And I do believe that it's important for us to talk about our freedom today and our independence and truly the liberty that our Lord Jesus has given us. Amen? Amen. No, I just needed to get the pulpit. Well, amen. Well, let's begin. Brother Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer? You know, I think about church life today and how much the culture has changed. You think about the music and how much music has changed. You think about all the lights. You think about all the different things that we do in church life today in an effort to attract. And one of the things that's important for me as pastor is for all of us to look at the culture today. You know, our culture has changed. The mindset has changed. We, back in the 60s, looked at a possibility of going to war when I was young. And, you know, today we're talking about socialism. We're talking about communism. I mean, the culture has absolutely changed from where we used to be to where we are. And I think the Lord looks at us today to go, we're going to have to fight the problem in a different way. There is no doubt that we don't need to get down on our knees because 2 Corinthians says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and pray, he says, then I would hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal your land. And I know that our land needs to be healed today, but I think the way that we used to do it is not the way that we need to do it today. I will never take out God out of the picture. I would never take out Jesus Christ out of the picture. And I will never take the Holy Spirit out of the picture because those are the most important entities, deities that we have in our life. But I think God wants the church to see once and for all that we're at war. When you got up this morning, you're at war. When you go home tonight, you're at war. When we just dedicated this child, that family is in war. Because Satan wants everything that we got. But Satan can't get anything if we're not willing to give it to him, because greater is the Lord that lives in us than the Lord that thinks he rules this world. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This whole month, we're going to talk about independence. We're going to talk about freedom in Christ. And I think one of the challenges for us is, do we understand who we are? Do you understand what you have? But the key is, do you understand why you have it? Because if you don't, we're going to begin today. Liberty was precious to our founding fathers. And it was so precious that it bore the marks of sacrifice. It was crimsoned with the red stain of their blood. But what I want us to read is the very last sentence, that we are inclined today to hold our liberties cheaply because they cost us nothing. Well, you go, okay, But we have people fighting. But I want you to see something today. In the Declaration of our Independence, it said, we hold. The word hold means it's in your hands. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are three things: that you and I ought to have life, we ought to have liberty, and we ought to have the pursuit of happiness. But you have to understand that it didn't come at a cost. The rest in that independence says prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Our God has given us a manual that tells us how to live. God has given us a book to teach our children how to live every day. God has given us a book that when we lack wisdom, you open up the book and the book provides us with the wisdom that we need. But the problem with the church is that the church has taken everything that God has given us for granted. We don't think about the cost that it took for us to be here today. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. I don't know if you've ever added it up, but the death toll of soldiers that have been killed in U.S. wars. The American Revolution, 4,435. War of 1812, 2,260. Mexican War, 13,283. The Civil War, where we fought amongst ourselves, 600,000 plus people died. Spanish-American War, 2,446. World War I, 116,516. World War II, 405,399. Korean War, 36,574. Vietnam, 58,220. Gulf War, 383. Iraq and Afghanistan, 6,773. But look at the sum total. 1,264,000. 289 men and women have given their lives so that you and I could be in this building today to raise our hands and worship God in any way that we want to. But the price of freedom is not cheap. The price of freedom will always cost us something. And you and I have got to get to the place to understand the significance. This is staggering. How many people have been killed for the cause of Christ? Christianity Today reports 70 million people have been killed since Christ walked this earth. 70 million people have given their lives for the cause of Christ. Now, here's what I want us to do as we begin the message today. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to think about your freedom. Men and women have died so that you could be here and live a life of freedom. No one was there that said you couldn't get up today. No one was there that said you couldn't come to church today. No one was there that prevented us from taking a Bible to this building today. And no longer, church, can we take our freedom for granted. Because I'm telling you, if the church does not become the church, and if the church does not stand up for the cause of Christ, we will have nothing to stand upon. And we will lose our right to be here and to worship the God of all gods and the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. But think about, more importantly, about the freedom that you have because of Christ. Think about your life. Think about what you take for granted every day. Lucy's brother, our nephew, her brother's son, had a major heart attack, was in ICU, was on ventilators, was on everything that you could think of to keep him alive. And this church and many others began to pray. And then he had a stroke. Heart attacks and strokes, pretty serious. And Lucy says one day that her brother goes, "I don't know if he'll ever wake up. I don't know what's going to happen to him." And Lucy got her family together. And she said, "Let me tell you something, guys. We as a family need to pray because we've got a loved one that's in trouble." And they begin to pray. And Lucy told me before church that he's up. He's talking. He's got a while to go. But everything that Satan meant for bad, because the prayers that people offered up to God, God took what Satan meant for bad and he turned it to good. And you and I have got to begin to understand who we are. Satan wants you to look at yourself that you're nothing. But I got to tell you, you're something. And everybody here today has a role to play. I don't know what prayer was the one that began the process to heal Lucy's nephew. Don't understand it. But I don't have to understand it. But what I do need to understand is that all of us have a role to play. There are empty chairs in this church today. And if people begin to understand their role, those chairs would be full. If people understood that you can't take God for granted, those chairs would be full. We all have this place in the kingdom of our Lord. In the book of Isaiah, It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to free the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Why did God give you freedom? Why did God put you here today? Why did God save you and me? Well, it says because he has anointed us. The word anointing means that he has prepared us, that you and I are in a position to be used by him. And what we are to do is to bring good news to those who need it. It says to those who are afflicted. We all know people who are afflicted today. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. This world is in a mess. And the only thing, not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not the president, not a congressman, or a senator, or a state rep, is going to change this country. It is God and God alone who will change this place around. But God said, I have given you, church, freedom. I've given you liberty. I've given you the independence to live and do what I've asked you to do. So he says, I want you to go out, church, and proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim the favorable year of our Lord. But then he says, I want you to give people garland instead of ashes. In Scripture, when people put ashes on their face, they were struggling. Look at the world today. We're struggling. Look at the challenges that people are facing today. They're struggling. And we need something to change the world. The Bible says the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Psalms 23 said that we, in the presence of our enemies, that our God has anointed our head with oil, and our cup overflows. And you and I, when we come to church, we ought to praise God. And I know that there is a time to worship God. We talked about it last week, that worship is broke up into three pieces: celebration. And it's broken then into contemplation. And then it's broken down into adoration. But if you can't praise God, then there's a problem. I love it when people come up here and dance. They're inhibited. They're going, I don't care, or uninhibited. I don't care what anybody thinks. If David can dance in his underwear, you can dance in your clothes in the front of church on Sunday morning. So, why do I have freedom as a Christian? Well, Luke says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set those who are oppressed free. How is the world going to know about Jesus Christ till you and I take it serious that we are to go into this world and to help someone that is blind recover their sight? Yes. To help someone who has been bound with drugs and alcohol break the chains. Yes. How do we do it unless you and I understand that God gave us freedom and liberty to go into this world and change it for the cause of Christ? Christ paid the ultimate price. The bottom of that, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever would believe in that Son should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you look at that cross, the one in the middle, we should be there. But if you look on the outsides of that cross, it's a picture of the world today. The one thief who did nothing at all asked Jesus on that cross, "I want to be with you today." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. On the other side was one who denied Christ. And that's the picture of the world today. One side of the world denies Christ. The other side of the world is asking for Christ. And Christ is in the middle. And Christ said, "I did for you what you could not do for yourself. And I have given you liberty. I have given you independence. And I have given you a freedom. Now go out into this world and change this world for the cause of Christ." Now Romans 5 and 7 says, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." Church, do you understand what that said? That God, actually it says, but God demonstrated his love to you and me. Even while we were yet sinners, he died on the cross so that someday you and I could be set free to walk this life with a righteousness that gave us the right to be in his presence and to live our life with liberty and freedom and independence so that we could be the ambassadors that God has called us to be. Romans 8 and verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death." The very first cost of freedom was the life of Jesus Christ. He looked at you and I, and we weren't even born yet. And he said, "I am going to give my life for you. I will take your place on the cross so that you don't have to be nailed there. I will give you the freedom to either accept me or to deny me, but I am going to do what Daddy told me to do. and I will set the captives free. Church, we take it for granted. 1 Corinthians says, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the book that you brought in today, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. Now see, if you just kind of read that, you go like, okay. But church, I want you to understand what that said. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. What is the significance of that? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal, not spiritual right here, but your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you understand that you were dead, and that because of what Christ has done, that you are alive? You were dead in sin, and now he has protected us. He has given life to our mortal bodies, and when he takes us home, oh, church, you can only imagine what that day will be when you walk in the presence of Almighty God. Now, Hebrews says, therefore, let us draw near because of all of what Christ has done for us. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our greatest time of need. Church, do you understand because of Christ we have the freedom to enter into the throne room of grace? Do you understand what that means, that you have the right, the God-given right to enter into the throne room? The curtain was torn when he died. He gave access to the Holy of Holies, and you and I can step into God's presence any time that we want to. So what's so special about entering into God's presence, or entering into the throne room of grace? And honestly, you have the access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all gods. I have read this on numerous occasions, but today, because it is liberty and freedom and independence, maybe you'll see it just a little different. But allow me today to tell you about my King. See, my King was born a king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the King of the Jews. That's an ethnic king. He's the King of Israel. That's a national king. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of heaven. He is the King of glory. And he is the King of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. That is my King. As I look across the crowd today, I wonder, honestly, do you know that King? Do you honestly know who he is? Do you righteously look in the mirror to go, yes, I know him? See, David said that the heavens declared the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. See, my king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. There is no barrier that can hinder him pouring out and overflowing his blessings upon his children. He's enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He is unique. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is supreme. He is preeminent. He is the grandest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He is the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king that I get to worship every day. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you could choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. Oh, he sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all of his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged, and he will reward the diligent, and he is beautifying the meek. That's my king. See, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway church of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of all of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of all princesses. He's the king of kings and the lord of all lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. And his love never changes. His word, it's enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And I just wish I could describe him to you. But church, he is undescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is invincible, and he is irresistible. See, I'm coming to tell you this, that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone some even make the attempt to explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, and the witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death can't handle him, and the grave can't hold him down. He is always, has been, and he always will be. He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. And I'm talking about the fact that he has no predecessor. He'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, and there's nobody coming after him. You can't impeach him. He's not going to resign. And that's my King that we worship today. In a world that has gone to heck in a handbasket, our scripture says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all of the power belongs to God. We're around here talking about black power. We talk about white power. We talk about green power and yellow power and purple power. But in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power, and you bet thine is the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory belongs to him. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? Forever and ever and ever is how long. And when you get finished with the evers, the only thing that we can end it with is amen. That is my King. Why has God given us what he's given us? So that you and I first will learn the truth, and the truth will set us free. And once we learn the truth, church, we're to go out into this world and we're to make disciples. We're to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to help the captives free. We are to help people to see. We are to heal the lepers. We are to heal everything. We are to touch. We're to do. But the only way that will ever work is if you're willing to understand your freedom, if you're willing to understand your independence, if you're truly willing, church, to learn the truth so that others will be set free. Give God a hand clap of praise today.